Why WA cops want to crash into vehicles, the plan to shorten teacher training, and the black market for breast milk. It's Wednesday, the 7th of December.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. And now we have a massive day of news for everybody. And let's start with that disturbing murder in Lansdale on Monday night. Have you got an update?
Yeah, we have an update. We now understand that the victim is 51-year-old Lynn Cannon. This is an awful story. This mother of two was allegedly murdered by her ex-partner. We understand that jealousy sparked this. Now, she split from her ex-husband 2 years ago, and we understand she'd found love with somebody else, and sources have said that this has triggered this alleged murder. An awful situation. She leaves two sons behind, devastated. Her ex-partner is in hospital under police guard at this point, being treated for self-inflicted injuries.
Yeah, and it comes, of course, in the middle of WA's 16 Days in WA, which is a campaign to stop violence against women.
Yeah, exactly. And we have heard that she was about to take out a violence restraining order against her ex-partner.
Yeah, yeah. It just a terrible, terrible story. We'll wait to hear more from the police. And talking about the police, the WA Police Union wants officers to be able to hit vehicles that are attempting to evade coppers in high-speed pursuits. So putting them into a spin, like tapping the back of the car as they're in a pursuit, spins them around. Amid growing frustration from police over their limited ability to stop these dangerous chases. So currently, the rules are that police have to sort of stop chasing offenders for safety reasons, both safety of the police, safety of the general public. But the union says it's actually encouraging the crooks to drive more dangerously because they know if they do, police will be forced to abort the pursuit. And so instead, the police have to rely on road spikes or the air wing to end police evasions. But those assets aren't always available, especially in regional WA and particularly the Kimberley. And the union also wants officers to be allowed to box a vehicle, which is where a number of police cars kind of get on all sides of a vehicle they're pursuing, and they sort of collectively sort of slow down and box it in, gradually slowing it to a stop. Of course,
has the police union been watching some chases from LA or something? Or something?
Right. I know, right? It does feel like these are all tactics that are used by American police with limited effectiveness. But they're called sort of tactical pursuit and containment strategies, and it came up at the recent union conference. And you know, we've seen footage up in the Kimberley of police vehicles being deliberately rammed by youngsters driving stolen cars, and then they share the footage on social media. And the union says that the pursuits can go on for longer, even over days, because the cops don't have an effective means to bring them to a stop. What do you make of
it? What happens if somebody's killed because they put a vehicle into a spin?
I know, right?
And what happens if the person who's killed is someone in another vehicle who's been impacted?
It's a tough one.
We just have to sit back for a second and go assess the risk. Of course, you don't want crims on the run. You want those people caught. But is it really worth risking the safety of other people just to catch them?
And potentially for a pretty insignificant sort of crime, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's just some idiot kid in a car. And then is that worth killing multiple people for? Probably not.
Leave this stuff to the LAPD.
And just like a lot of sectors, education has been hit hard by the worker shortage. And now the McGowan government has come up with a pretty bold strategy to address it.
Yes. I'm just laughing because it's like, how are we going to solve this shortage? Oh, let's make it easier to become a teacher. Like, guess what? Now you'll only have to have gone to uni for 3 years instead of the usual four in order to become a teacher at a public school. Now, we should say private schools, it's 3 years. Yeah. So essentially, they're leveling the playing field and ensuring that they have the same access to teachers as private schools. Because, of course, private schools, if it's only 3 years, are able to get these teachers a little bit earlier than public schools. Yeah,
I didn't know that was the rule.
Apparently, the education department did have this case by case thing where it could be done if they someone had only had 3 years training, but it was essentially seen as a barrier.
But what they got good marks? If they got good marks, they do 3 years. Yeah. Like, and what do you reckon?
Yeah, off you go.
I'm good to go.
So this is all part of the plan to solve the teacher shortage because they're facing dramas for next year, and it's only, you know, weeks away, really, the new school year. I know we're all thinking about winding up the school year, but it's really not that far away.
It's going to be very tough. I wonder if it also it matters what you want to teach, right? Like if you want to teach in like early childhood, like, you know, years 1 to 3 or something like that.
Yeah, you don't need algebra.
Maybe, exactly. You can skip algebra, physics, chemistry, shave a year off. Yeah, I think it's possible. They need to come up with something because I think, you know, in a couple of months' time, we will be talking about a pretty dire situation. Yeah,
and
in
we need
WA's
to be attracting good people
sector
to become teachers, yep, because that often makes all the difference. It doesn't matter the school, it's the impact that that
maybe
individual
give them
teacher
money
has.
Give the teachers more money.
Oh, God. They can't give the nurses more too much more money. Yeah. The cops want more money. Everyone wants more money, don't they?
You're going to have to pay them, otherwise people go work in the FIFO.
Oh, well, this is it. This is the problem we have, isn't it?
Yep, we've seen it before. History repeats. And now the US Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, has said today in Washington, not that long ago, that there will be an increased rotational presence of US Navy and Army troops in Australia going forward. The comments were made at an event in Washington where Austin and US Secretary of State Antony Blinken welcomed Australia's Defense Minister Richard Marles and our Minister for Foreign Affairs, Penny Wong. And it comes, of course, after the US confirmed last month that a squadron of nuclear-capable B-52 bombers would be stationed in the Northern Territory. And of course, the AUKUS pact struck by the Morrison government that will see nuclear submarines may be based right here in WA. Austin said that US and Australian mateship was important for global security, which of course is code for we're a bit worried about China taking over and we need our Aussie mates to be regional sheriffs.
And just wait, China will come out now and say, oh, they disapprove of this increased rotational
presence.
Well,
they didn't even like an Australian MP visiting Taiwan,
no,
right? And Miles came out and said that going forward, as well as this increased US military presence in Australia, which I've got to say, I don't love it, we'll be doing more joint exercises with Japan as well, with the US. So it's kind of a posturing, I guess, to show China.
That's exactly
there's
it.
There's this, you know, sort of regional collaboration happening.
It's not like there's war imminent.
No.
You know? So it is just posturing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just flexing
it's like
muscles.
Talk quietly and carry a big stick, I think. Yeah. And unfortunately, Australian military didn't have any sticks. So.
Yeah. Can we borrow your sticks?
Yeah, that's pretty much where it's at. And now a jury in New York on Tuesday has found the Trump Organization guilty of all charges in a sweeping 15-year tax fraud scheme the prosecutor said was orchestrated by top executives at the company. So jurors only took a day to deliberate over this before returning guilty verdicts on a total of 17 counts, including conspiracy, criminal tax fraud, and falsifying business records. So it was all part of this scheme that paid their already highly paid executives even more by helping them cheat on their taxes through a series of schemes that included off-the-book perks like luxury cars and free apartments.
How much did Donald know about this?
Well, he wasn't charged, and he took to social media and said that the district attorney office had been fighting a political witch hunt for Washington, D.C. against Trump, talking about himself in the third person. And so they've been found guilty of all this fraud, right? Do you want to know what the penalty is?
What's the penalty?
So the company faces only about $1.6 million in fines.
That's it. For all of that.
Yeah. So there you go.
For conspiracy, criminal tax fraud, falsifying business records.
So if you were a multi-billion-dollar company, why wouldn't you be doing this, right? If that's the penalty?
Yeah.
And now, Maddie, I know you love going to the gym. Would you be willing to get your protein supplements from breast milk that you've bought on the black market? Be honest.
Oh, I would have thought it'd be more expensive than the protein supplements that I currently take.
I think,
but sure, let's
consider it.
Sure, yeah. Is it more effective?
Well, this is the thing, right? So there's been an exponential growth in Australians donating or selling breast milk online, and there's a couple of things to unpack here. Firstly,
this is not to feed babies.
It's two things going on here. So one is for feeding babies for mums who need a bit of help there. But experts are fearing that this black market for breast milk is putting infants at a greater risk of disease, and they're calling for human milk to be fined as like human tissue and be regulated in the same way as blood is. You can't just like go selling blood on the black market. But it's not just being bought for babies, because there are these Facebook groups that are popping up in every state and territory. This online black market for breast milk, it's being bought by people including cancer patients under the mistaken belief that it will treat their disease, by athletes and bodybuilders who believe breast milk enhances performance and muscle growth, despite no evidence that it does.
Have you tasted it?
Breast milk, yes.
it's pretty sour, yeah, isn't it?
It's not my cup of tea. I'd rather have a choc
Don't
chill.
Don't put it in your tea.
I'd rather have a choc chill, thanks. And I love this story. So a group of female graziers from outback Queensland have discovered a 100-million-year-old creature that paleontologists are comparing to the Rosetta Stone for its potential to unlock the discovery of several new species of prehistoric marine giants. This is my dream, right? Like I was like I dreamed of being a paleontologist back as a kid.
Before you dreamed of being an epidemiologist.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Your dreams change. And so these amateur paleontologists uncovered the fossilized remains of a long-necked plesiosaur known as Elasmosaur, which could grow up to 10 metres, while searching their Western Queensland cattle station in August. And it was the first time that such a complete Elasmosaur skeleton had been found. And now paleontologists believe it could hold the secret to unlocking other fossils held in museums, just like the Rosetta Stone, which had three different ancient languages on it, so it allowed experts to crack Egyptian hieroglyphics. They think they look at this fossil of this Elasmosaur and go, oh, okay, so this is how all of these other fossils fit together. Interesting.
So I take it was underwater at that stage.
Yeah, so it used to live underwater when it was alive, and there's not many fossils of them because when they die, their decomposing body fills up with gas, floats to the surface,
and
scavengers eat it. But this one somehow has sunk to the seabed, and it's really incredible.
He's looking at this picture. Yeah, like it's impressive.
It must be about 8 meters long, and the women who found it are all lying on the ground next to it.
Yeah, it looks like kind of like old school whale shark almost.
Yeah, amazing. Sport. And some amazing results in the World Cup overnight. Portugal has flogged Switzerland 6-1 to progress to the quarterfinal. It's a bit of drama, of course. Anything
with Ronaldo.
Involving Cristiano Ronaldo. So Gonzalo Ramos has scored a hat-trick. Do you like that? So
he's when you say a name like that, can we just get out tequila with the red hat on it or something like that? It feels like...
Por favor. And so Ramos has scored this hat-trick, right? But he only came on after he replaced Cristiano Ronaldo, scored his three goals after replacing Ronaldo, who was sent to the bench, and he's earned the ire of the coach earlier in the tournament. And then there was rumours that, you know, after the team was celebrating, he kind of stormed off the pitch. Maybe it's a bit overblown, but it's been a weird cup for Ronaldo. But he's clearly enjoying the Middle Eastern heat because word is that he's about to sign with a club in Saudi Arabia on a two-year deal worth $200 million a year, which would make him the highest paid athlete in the world.
How about those human rights records in Saudi Arabia?
Just take the money. Shut up. And Morocco's dream run at the World Cup continues. They drew 0-0 with Spain in regulation, but then the Moroccans won 3-0 on penalties to advance to the quarterfinals. Huge upset.
The Wild West.
And talking about upsets, Maddie, it seems like there might be a few punters upset when they go to the pub and find they can't get a bowl of hot chips.
Yes, a chip shortage is looming. This is because most of our chips, our frozen chips, come from the East Coast and the crops have been ravaged by the torrential rain over there. So
yes,
it's a big problem. But when I saw this story, I thought, who is going to solve this?
I can think of one person.
One man with a monobrow. Yeah. Tony Gallardi. So the Spud King is actually building his own factory at the moment to produce frozen chips and crisps as well. Ooh. We're likely to see the crops that are growing now at his place at Mile Up make it onto supermarket shelves by Easter next year.
Okay, all right.
So... look, there is the shortage at the moment, but long term, Tony is going to solve the chip shortage.
Jeez. So
he's just going to own the whole supply chain.
Does that mean chips are going to get more expensive? Do you think in pubs?
Well, I reckon that, well, maybe in the short term, but once Tony's onto it, I think it must come down because he's growing the potatoes, he's harvesting them, he's sending them to his factory to produce the chips and the crisps and then putting them in his spud sheds.
Yeah, cheaper transport cops.
Everything. It just cuts out all the middlemen.
Yeah. I like this. Oh, well, okay. Well, bad news in the meantime. Hopefully it all gets resolved sooner rather than later. And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, December 7. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Have a good one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.